A review lesson on humility tonight. Uh-oh. Well, it's not a quiz, it's a lesson. And so I'm going to go over some of the things that I read to you before, and also there's some new material. Some of the new material is from the last 2 days. It's messages that Jesus gave. On the 9th, he said, "Understand, as I speak to you, that I am Jesus, the Word born incarnate. My Eucharistic heart is the center of the universe. But this heart cannot save a simple soul unless the soul surrenders to holy love. The degree of surrender determines the degree of sanctity. Indeed, self-abandonment is the key to salvation. Souls cannot love me or trust me or even know me who allow their hearts to be full of themselves. Self-love is always the door Satan walks through. Self-love is inordinate love of power, money, ambition, reputation, sensuality, greed, and all these that are from Satan. But when the soul surrenders to holy love, he is willing to give up everything, all his own wants, for me. Such a soul has no need for recognition. Such a one despises the limelight and has no concern for reputation. He does not promote himself or his own agenda, but waits in the background to quietly do my bidding. If he accomplishes something on my behalf, he does not look for credit, but gives thanks to God. These humble souls that surrender to holy love are the instruments I delight to use. These are the ones that allow holy love to take over their hearts. They place all my needs ahead of their own. These are the ones I call my own." And then on the 10th, that's today, "I am your Jesus born incarnate. Today I invite you to see that each heart can be likened to a little house. The door is free will. The owner of the house can admit either good or evil. What the householder allows in is also what comes out in the world around him. If the little house is a virtuous dwelling, a house of holiness, the bricks and mortar it is constructed with will be holy love, holy humility. These are the two that surround all the other virtues, unite them, and make them strong. Without love and humility, other virtues cannot truly dwell in the heart. There is no structure with which to hold them there. Self-love assumes the role of the brick and mortar. False virtue, which is for show, envelops the heart. This is why you must measure the worth of every present moment according to holy love, holy humility. Surrender to me, and I will assist you." Now, in the past, in November last year, Jesus gave us a lesson on humility. And he said, "If humility is the root of every virtue, understand that holy love is the soil in which it grows. The tree that bears all virtue cannot thrive without roots and soil. Every virtue is practiced by a movement of free will. It is infused into the soul through the persevering practice of the virtue. First, the soul must choose holy love, the soil. Through love of God above all else and love of neighbor as self, the soul must practice humility. Jesus says humility is self-abasing, thus open to self-knowledge, even welcomes it. Humility then sees criticism as a grace, considers others more worthy of grace and esteem and reward than himself. Humility is happy with the lowliest job and never seeks recognition for his efforts. Humility seeks to be hidden. Thus, a person who claims humility is far from it. Okay, now I'm going to turn to divine intimacy. And there are some things that I highlighted in here on humility. Humility is to charity, and charity is another word for love. Humility is to charity what the foundation is to a building. The deeper and firmer it is, the better the house will be, and the greater assurance of stability it will have. If you wish to lay a good foundation, says St. Teresa of the Child Jesus to her daughters, each of you must try to be least of all. That is, you must practice humility. If you do that, your foundation will be so firmly laid that your castle will not fall. Humility forms the foundation of charity by emptying the soul of pride, arrogance, disordered love of self, and of one's own excellence by replacing them with the love of God and the love of neighbor. The more humility empties the soul of the vain, proud pretenses of self, the more room there will be for God. When at last the spiritual man comes to be reduced to nothing, which will be the greatest extreme of humility, spiritual union will be wrought between the soul and God. The soul who desires to reach the sublime heights of union with God must walk in the path of profound humility. For as the Divine Master taught, only he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. God resists the proud, but to the humble he gives grace. It is only in our weakness, humbly acknowledged, that grace and divine virtue work and triumph. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Even if we are of the number of those good souls who sincerely desire to advance on the road of perfection, but who are relying too much on their own powers and personal initiative, we can apply to ourselves to great advantage the valuable warning that St. Teresa of the Child Jesus gave her novices. I see clearly that you are taking the wrong road. You will never reach the end of your journey. You want to scale a mountain, and the good God wills to make you descend. It is Jesus who takes upon himself to fill your soul according as you rid it of your own perfections. The sublime ideal of union with God totally exceeds our own capacities, which are those of weak creatures. If we aspire to it, it is not because we expect to reach it by our own efforts and initiative, but because we trust God himself, according to his promise, will come and lead us by the hand. But God will not act thus with a proud soul. He stoops only to the humble. The more lowly he finds a soul, the closer he draws himself to it. Humility deepens the soul's capacity to receive the fullness of divine gifts. Humility makes us realize that in the sight of God, we are only his little creature, entirely dependent upon him for our existence and for all our works. It follows that everything we possess in the order of being, qualities, gifts, capacities, and everything we have accomplished in the order of action is not ours, but all in one way or another are gifts of God. All are acts performed with God's help. What hast thou that thou hast not received? If thou hast received it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? And let's see. Christian humility does not lower, it elevates. It does not cast down, but gives courage. For the more it reveals to the soul its nothingness and abjection, the more it moves it toward God with confidence and abandonment. God does not introduce a soul to a higher spiritual life, nor admit it to deeper intimacy with himself, as long as it is not completely despoiled of confidence in itself. When a soul practically forgets its nothingness and still relies on its own strength, knowledge, and initiative or virtues, be it ever so little, God leaves it to itself. When we trust in ourselves or in people, God stands back and lets us fall on our faces. But when we're really up against a rock and a hard place, and we have nowhere to go but to the arms of Jesus, that's when he'll help us. Our strength is in our weakness. In speaking of her definite, total conversion, St. Teresa of Jesus confesses that what prevented her from overcoming the last obstacles was really a remnant of confidence which she still had in herself. Confidence in God increases in proportion to our mistrust of ourselves. It becomes total when the soul, having acquired a thorough comprehension of its nothingness, has lost all faith in its own resources. True humility, however deep it may be, neither disquiets nor troubles nor disturbs the soul. It is accompanied by peace, joy, and tranquility. It enlarges it and makes it fit to serve God better. On the other hand, false humility only disturbs and upsets the mind and troubles the soul. I think the devil is anxious for us to believe that we are humble. And if he can, he will lead us to distrust God. Distress and lack of confidence lessen our capacity for loving, and the devil's aim is to hold back souls on the road to love. He's the arch enemy of holy love, in case you haven't noticed it. Many souls would like to be humble, but few desire humiliations. Many ask God to make them humble and fervently pray for this, but very few want to be humiliated. Yet it is possible to gain humility without humiliations, for just as studying is the way to acquire knowledge, so it is by the way of humiliation that we attain to humility. It is not the humiliation itself which makes us humble, but the act of the will by which we accept it. Saint Bernard teaches that being humble and being humbled are two different things. We can say that everyone, in one way or another, receives humiliations in this life. Not many, however, become humble, because very few accept humiliation and submit to it patiently. What profit do we draw from humiliations if instead of accepting them, we oppose and resist them with resentment, and vexation and become angry with the person who gives them to us. If in spite of all the repugnance and resistance of nature, we accept a humiliation by an act of the will and assure God that we want to be content with it and to savor it thoroughly, we will gradually become humble. Now, I just have a couple things to read in A Year with the Saints. This is from St. Teresa. One day of humble self-knowledge is a greater grace from the Lord. Although it may have cost us many afflictions and trials, than many days of prayer. This is from St. Bernard. What is it, O my God, that we expect to gain by appearing well before creatures and by pleasing them? What does it matter to us if we are blamed by them and considered worthless, provided we are great and faultless before thee? Ah, we never come fully to an understanding of this truth, and so we never succeed in standing upon the summit of perfection. The saints had no greater pleasure than to live unknown and abject in the hearts of all. This is from St. Thomas Aquinas. When you see anyone who desires esteem and honors and avoids contempt, and who, when contradicted or neglected, shows resentment and takes it ill, you may be sure that such a one, though he were to perform miracles, is very far from perfection, for all his virtue is without foundation. No, there's not. Okay, this is from Thomas Aquinas. Here is one of the best means to acquire humility. Fix well in mind this maxim. One is as much as he is in the sight of God, and no more.